this week. It's been a pretty crazy few weeks. I've said to Mike for ages, I was like, Mike, like let me preach for a few weeks in a row. Like, I reckon I can do it. I reckon I'm up to it. And I'm not. I've learned like I guess a lot of things. I've affirmed a lot of things. But it's been quite enjoyable. I've had a good time preparing, I've found, I guess, a little bit out about myself in preparation, and it leads to this question: have you ever tried to ignore a problem you know you should deal with? Now I'm going to stay away from what I've been doing at church, and I think I'll give you a story about home. I'd order all the time with a full bin. When the bin is full, I look at it and go, I could clean that, I could empty it, and that'd make life easier, put a new bin liner in. Or what I could do also is I could balance my rubbish on the top of the other bit of rubbish and close it. And if the bin closes without anything spilling, it's then Megan's job, or whoever is going to use the bin next, to then try and balance it. And if they can close it, it becomes my problem again. And it's a little bit of a game we have going. You know, and we don't really say anything, but I think it is a game because our bin gets pretty full. But quite often I get to this point where I look at it and I'll just be doing something else. I don't know if you're like this as well. I'm really good at doing something else and then getting into another job. But I'll look at the bin and I'll say, I just can't handle that anymore. It needs to be done. But I wonder how much easier it would have been if I didn't ignore the problem for so long and just dealt with it there and then when it was starting to overflow. You know, like the bin liner starts to fall down the side of the bin and then you got to get it and then there's like all the bin juice. It's just a mess. So ignoring a problem you know you need to deal with. It was the same this year for Christmas. I thought, in November, I will get my Christmas presents organized. I thought, I'll go to the shops while they're not too busy. I'll get everything I need. Oh, you already know how this ends. And anyway, cue week of Christmas, and I did most of my shopping. And I thought to myself again, as I stood in really long lines for small items, why do I do this to myself? Why do we do it to ourselves? Why do we ignore problems that we know we need to deal with? Why do we ignore the things in our lives that we might struggle with? Why do we ignore the things in our lives that we know God is calling us to better ourselves in? And just sort of keep going. Find reasons to put it off. As we look at this passage today, at least for me, I see something that I do so often. And as we've looked over the past couple of weeks at a challenge for a New Year's resolution that is more aimed at glorifying God than maybe trying to make ourselves a way better person, and as we looked last week about the fact that we have to wait for Christ's return and how we do that, standing firm in our faith, I thought we'd finish off this little three-week series of mine with something that sort of brings those two things together. So if you have 1 Peter 3 open, we'll read it again. Verses 8 to 16, it says this, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and be humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." Now, I enjoy this passage. I think it's a really encouraging passage and a passage that builds us up as we read it. I think it's something that we look at and go, wow, this is truth about us as followers of Christ. But it also, I loathe it as much as I like it, I think, because it's tough. I want to repay evil with evil. I want to repay insult with insult. I'm good at those things. It comes naturally. When someone is mean, my instinct is to defend myself. And to defend myself normally means I will try and turn the attention off me and back onto them, so I'll be mean. When someone insults me, I don't like that and I don't take it very well. They've hurt my feelings. They need to know that. And the easiest way to let someone know they hurt your feelings is to hurt their feelings right back. That's how we do things as humans. We are good at creating drama when there isn't any. So imagine how good we are at creating drama when it's actually there. And Peter says here, don't repay evil with evil, but repay evil with a blessing. Again, a great Christian idea, something we know to be true, something we know that we should do. It's the kind of passage to don't repay evil with evil, but repay evil with a blessing. It's the kind of passage you would see on a bumper sticker on the back of your car. You know, you like to hold that out as a great Christian idea. And I remember I was driving in the car of an unnamed friend. They had just got their license and they were really excited. The first thing they wanted to do was go to Coorong and buy themselves a fish sticker for the back of their car. Now, the thing about fish stickers on the back of your car is you're letting people who know what that fish sticker means know something about you. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus. Don't repay evil with evil. Repay evil with a blessing. When someone cuts you off at 3 p.m. on a Friday afternoon on a fairly quiet road, you're showing them that you're a Christian, and how you respond says something. And the thing I like about cars and driving is it shows where your heart's really at. And at 3 p.m. on this particular Friday on a fairly quiet road, this driving friend of mine didn't repay evil with a blessing. But I think that's us instinctively, isn't it? To automatically think that we need to repay evil with more evil, that we need to pay insult with another insult. How do we respond with a blessing instinctively instead of evil or insult? And what does Peter mean when he says respond with a blessing? Well, he means to respond in the way that God wants us to respond. We must show those qualities that we have seen God bestow on us, even when we probably didn't deserve it. Now, that's something that's quite hard to do, to show the qualities of God's love to others when maybe you feel like they don't deserve it. But that is what we are called to do as followers of Christ. And unfortunately, we don't get a different option. We don't get the Bible that says, be nice to the people that are nice to you, and the people that aren't nice to you, feel free to respond in a way that you think is fitting. We get told to repay evil with a blessing. And to me, that's almost all the evidence I need that the Bible wasn't written as some kind of pretend book to try and get heaps of people to follow, like some people might think it is. Because to me, if I'm writing a make-believe book to try and get heaps and heaps of people to follow it, I'm saying repay evil with evil. I reckon heaps of people would follow some teaching like that. The Bible says, repay evil with a blessing. That's challenging. And that's what Peter challenges us with. Peter goes on to say, do this because you were called to this so you may receive a blessing. Now again, what does this mean? I think it means that we as followers of Christ know what we have been called to. We know what our role in the community is. We know what we should be doing. And we know all of this because we know what we are saved into as well as who saves. We know God and his love. We know the blessings that he throws out on our lives. Now, I guess in some ways society takes words for themselves and makes them say what they want it to say. And in some ways society has captured the word blessing or a blessed life and put a hashtag in front of it sometimes and made it say something that it probably doesn't mean to us as followers of Jesus. A blessing isn't something that you might get because you've done something. You are not the more you do, the more blessing you get isn't necessarily an idea that we see here. A blessing doesn't equal more stuff. I think it's quite different to that. Repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. Because this is what you were called to, because you know what you have been called to. You know what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. You know the blessing you received when you didn't deserve it, when you came to know Jesus. You know of the blessings you receive from God, even though day by day you mess up. You know the blessings you receive from God in the darkest moments of your life, in the toughest moments of your life, in the hardest moments of your life. So because of that, we should be prepared to repay evil with a blessing of our own. We don't repay evil with evil, because what would that show of God in our lives? We know that God shows his love and kindness to us, so because of that it makes sense that we would then share that. We would show others. It reminds me of the story Jesus shares when he's speaking to his disciples about forgiveness. He says this: "The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay off that debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when that man left the king, he went to his fellow servant, who owed him a few thousand dollars, grabbed him by the throat, and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me, I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you had pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?'" What does it mean to receive a blessing from God as we bless those who are evil to us? We've received everything we need from God. We've received salvation. We've received an eternity with him. And we've received love that we do not deserve. We would be just like the servant if we were to then not share that with others who we might not think deserve it. Verse 13 continues and says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?" If you have lived for any amount of time, you know that everyone is going to harm you if you are eager to do good. People like to bring you down. It says, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord." Again, a noble thought for us as Christians. First, we've been told not to repay evil with evil, instead respond with a blessing. Respond in a way that shows love, care, and a right attitude towards the person who is committing the evil. Then we are told to do good when we respond to that evil, and we still suffer, we must still do good. Because people suffer for what is right. Again, more evidence to me that the Bible was written through the work of the Holy Spirit and ordained by God. If we want a book that gets heaps of followers, we're not saying, hey, even as you do well, you will still suffer for that. It's a fairly backwards notion in a lot of ways. So first off, you've been told to love and care for the people who are evil to you, because you know the blessing you will inherit from God. Now Peter is telling us to be prepared to suffer for that. He tells us not to be frightened and not to be afraid by their threats. and to remember that we are blessed. Again, this idea of being blessed. In this context, Jesus speaks on the Sermon on the Mount. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for those who suffer for doing what is good. We should know that, and we will continue to do what is right. And secondly, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. What is worse, threats of evil from this world, threats of hard times, threats of people ganging up on you, making your life tough, or ignoring Christ in your heart? Like what Peter does here, because he keeps our focus on Jesus. He keeps our focus on Christ. Remember that through all of this, Jesus is still King. Through all the suffering for doing good, for all the having to repay evil with blessing, Jesus is still King. And if we believe that, then we can handle what comes our way. And then Peter goes on to say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And I think that's a great challenge as we sort of finish up these passages, because Peter has said, do not repay evil with evil. He says, do so because it is what God's character tells us to do. We know his heart and we want to do his will, and that is why we will be called blessed. We know God, we know what we've been saved into, and we know how he loves us even in the times when he should really turn his back on us. So that's why we will repay evil with blessing. Then Peter says, also, while you are doing good, keep doing it, even if it's causing you to suffer. Even when people give you hassle, don't fear that, because you know who is Lord. And in knowing who is Lord, that should comfort you. All the threats and fears, they will pass away, because we know who our Saviour is and what that is worth. And then he finishes with this. And I think he finishes with this because if you are doing those things, if you are showing love in times of trial, if you are loving those who are making life difficult for you, I think people will be interested in that. I think people will look at that and say, why are you doing that? That seems weird. Why are you being nice to those people who are making your life difficult? Why do you not fire back when people are having a go at you? Why do you show love to those who are always bringing you down? Why, when all these other people engage in banter, or whatever we call putting each other down nowadays, do you not engage? And you have a chance to tell them. You have a chance to explain that you've been given the greatest blessing one can be given. You've been redeemed by the Creator of the world, the Creator of all things, and set into a right relationship with him. You've been given keys to eternity. And Peter tells us, do this in a way that is honoring to God, but also do this in a way that doesn't demean or bring that person down. Do it with gentleness and respect. This means that you're not looking for a fight, you're not looking to try and find a subtle way to let them know that what you have is better than what they have. You're not doing it in a way that somehow points out their faults or their flaws. Instead, all you're doing is glorifying Christ in what you share. As you share your faith and your testimony in a way that is uplifting to the person who hears it, who knows, maybe they'll take one step closer to wanting to know more about the kingdom of heaven. That might mean that maybe they think a little bit more of the church down the road. It might think that maybe they think a little bit more of their Christian neighbor who they never really had time for. It might mean maybe they think a little bit more or want to know a little bit more about Jesus. Every step closer towards the kingdom is a very important step for everyone who is not there. And the great thing about it is Peter encourages us that if we are doing all these things, no one can actually speak truthfully against us. It can only be lies and folly, because people cannot go legitimately after you, because the life you are living proves that. And this is where the rubber hits the road for us as followers of Jesus. This is where it becomes real, because while we wait for Christ's return, people will look for cracks in our armor. As we start our New Year's resolution to fix our eyes on Him and glorify Jesus, people will want to remind us every single time we mess up, every single time we don't quite get it right. And as we read last week, it's not just from the outside of the church. People from the inside of the church as well will be doing this. They will look for ways to bring us down, ways to show that we are not the real deal. I think what Peter is saying here is put your life on show. And if it matches up with your testimony, as you grow, people will see that change. Something I've always found difficult and upsetting is when you really are trying to change, when you're really trying to improve on something, and people keep bringing up how 6 months ago you did that thing that wasn't improving and wasn't changing. Or 3 months ago you messed up, don't you remember? Or again, with that banter, they remind you of those things that you're not very good at. For me, it was a fairly early part of my journey. I was trying to change and grow in a few ways in my faith. I was trying to put some things behind me, trying to work and grow. And frustratingly enough, it was my Christian friends who in that banter reminded me of how bad and how much I wasn't changing. And one day as we were hanging out, they were reminding me of these things. And funnily enough, it was someone who actually wasn't a follower of Jesus who questioned them. Said, I've actually never seen that in his life. I haven't seen any of that. What are you talking about? See, my Christian friends had known me for a lot longer and they would harp back to that time. This other friend of mine hadn't known me for that long and he'd never seen it in the time that he had known me. So he didn't know why they were having a go at me. They didn't understand, hang on a minute, that's not something I see in his life. And that was a cool moment that those who had known me for longer were not able to see past something, but someone who had known me for a shorter time had never even seen. It was also a bittersweet moment because as I tried to share my testimony, this friend couldn't quite get past the fact that all of my Christian friends were jerks to me. And that doesn't seem like a very Christian thing. But we did get to have a conversation as to why I was trying to better myself and what I was trying to leave behind and why. What does that look like for you? As followers of Christ, we grow, we change, we learn, and hopefully we do it all with the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. But by the same token, are we actually the people who are speaking against each other as we see attempted change? Are we the ones reminding our friends of that time 3 months ago when they did that thing once? Or are we prepared to look forward and see that they are working on it? I've been on both sides and probably on the other side far more than the noble side. I've probably been on the side that puts people down far too often. But I guess the thing with being on that other side is, like Peter says, those people who slander and go against, they feel ashamed because they actually didn't have anything to stand on. And that's how I felt when I've gone after someone and they have changed. Their life was on show and it was true, and it was me who was the liar. So what does going forward look like for the rest of January for you? What does it look like as maybe you've thought about that New Year's resolution that glorifies Jesus? Or as you remember to stand firm in that faith while we wait? What does the rest of 2019 look like as you show the love of Christ to those around you? What does it look like to show that you understand the blessing and the promise that we have in Jesus? And maybe it's just going into this week and putting that into practice. Maybe it's going into this week and don't go looking for those conversations in which you can bring someone down. When your friend says that they're trying to work on something and you really don't think that they are, maybe don't say that. Maybe instead build them up and ask, is there a way that I can encourage you in that? I don't need to tell you how to not repay evil with evil. It will look different for all of us. Some of us are very placid people. So some of us, it might take us a bit more to get riled up than others. But what does it look like for you as you wake up tomorrow morning to remind yourself, today I am not going to repay evil with evil. Instead, I will show the love of Christ in that moment. What does it look like as someone insults you, as someone throws something that might seem harmless and banterish your way? How do you not respond to that in the exact same way? Because every time we do that, there's an opportunity for someone to hear and see our testimony in action. Every time we choose not to respond in anger or evil or insult, there's someone who sees that and says, why did they do that? And over time, that person sees that again and again and again, and they say, why every single time do they not respond with evil? Why do they not respond with insult? And then they ask you, and you have an opportunity to share your faith. You have an opportunity to do it in the way that Peter says, with love and humility. So maybe that means after church you go and chat to someone and say, hey, I need to be kept accountable in this week because I like to get fired up at this one person when they talk to me. Maybe it's, hey, at work there's this guy who makes my life hard and I find it difficult to respond in love. Or maybe it's, hey, this lady at my university always goes after me. Well, at least I think she does. How can you help me respond in a loving way? As we said last week, we stand firm together because following Christ is easier when there's a bunch of us all doing it together. So it'd be crazy to try and carry all this on your own. As you go out this week, that's what you are called to be a part of. A group of people who look radically different to the rest of the world. And because of that, Jesus is proclaimed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your love that really is unexplainable and a little bit unfair on your half, but you love us anyway. And as we try and understand that, as we try and reconcile that to the way that we live, may we be able to do the same as we look to others who might make our life difficult, who might hurt us, who might break us down. May you give us ways to continuously love them, to show your spirit, to show your love. As we look to build each other up, Father, may the Spirit prompt us with kind, wise words that build up and don't break down. And Father, give us the courage when someone asks us to share our faith to do it in a way that is honouring to you and in a way that is fair to them. We thank you for your example. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for the cross and the defeat of death so that we know where we are going. We know what we are blessed with, and we know what we can share with others. Amen. I'd like to stand and we'll sing our final song.